Locked On NBA, the biggest stories, the local experts. Every Monday, we dig into the biggest stories in the NBA with the Locked On Podcast Network hosts. Today, we'll stop in Minnesota to speak with Colton Molesky of Locked On Timberwolves about the Jimmy Butler situation, about the future of Tom Thibodeau and the organization, and the broken foot suffered by last year's first-round draft pick, Justin Patton. And we'll also go to Oklahoma City to speak with Eric G. of Locked On Thunder about the surgery that is upcoming for Russell Westbrook on his knee and what that means for the start of the season for the Thunder and the season as a whole. It's all coming up, the biggest stories, with the local experts on Locked On NBA.
Are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hi guys, and welcome back to Locked On NBA for another week, another Monday. I am your Monday host, Josh Lloyd, also the host of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast and the lead analyst at basketballmonster.com. So make sure you're checking me out over there as well. Some interesting developments over the last few days in the NBA. We're going to be talking about all that today. Lots of drama in Minnesota with the Timberwolves and, of course, some surgery befalling Russell Westbrook and his knee injuries. And we're going to be talking Thunder in today's show as well. Just quickly, make sure you guys are checking out the Locked On podcast. College shows, college football season in full swing. College basketball season not too far away, and we're ever increasing our amount of shows covering college teams, so check those out as well. Make sure you're subscribing to all of those shows, plus the other shows across the network, NBA, NFL, and Major League Baseball as the playoffs get closer. We also have a new sponsor for today's show as well, and that is Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans live entertainment with experience that can last a lifetime. That can be concerts, it can be sporting events, it can be comedy, whatever it is that you go and see. Vivid Seats is the place for you to go and get those tickets. NFL season's a couple of weeks old now. You can go get tickets to see your game there. College football, as I mentioned, the NBA preseason, we're about a couple of weeks away from that. So if you want to get tickets to all these things, make sure you're checking out Vivid Seats. They offer great prices and a very, very easy purchasing experience. If you use the podcast code LOCKEDON, listeners can receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. Make sure you are getting your tickets. And it's not hard to get $200 worth of tickets. You get a family, you take it to a game, and it's easy then. You can get $20 off. That's a significant saving. You need to go to the App Store or Google Play and download that Vivid Seats app. Enter the promo code LOCKEDON, which is one word, and then you will receive $20 off your orders of $200 or more. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. So go and check it out. Get tickets to the game, get tickets to the concert, get tickets to the show that you want to go see. Do it through Vivid Seats and save yourself $20 on orders of $200 or more by using that podcast promo code LOCKEDON. Fantasy football is underway, and we have two fantasy football shows to help you. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 gives you all the latest news, waiver suggestions, and injury news. Locked On Fantasy Football is now Locked On Fantasy Football Experts with amazing guests every Monday. Tom Kasinich, Tuesdays, Eric Edholm, Wednesdays, Jeff Ratliff, and Tyler Lochner. Now we bring in the host of the Locked On Timberwolves podcast. It's been a pretty busy couple of days for the Timberwolves. It's Colton Molesky back to join us here for Locked On NBA. I don't even know where to start with all this, Colton. Lots of stories that I guess many of them intertwine. But let's start with the latest reporting from The Athletic over the weekend, and Woj chiming in with that as well, about Jimmy Butler's unrest with the organization and a meeting scheduled for Monday, I believe, with Tom Thibodeau to discuss his future with the franchise.
Yeah, if you were hoping for the Timberwolves to be out of the woods with the conversation around Butler and his dissatisfaction with the direction that they're going at the beginning of summer, it looks like we're going to start out the season with this too. It's really unfortunate as well that this has to come so close to preseason basketball when you're supposed to be getting excited about your team again. Unfortunately, this is the headlines that we're having to deal with. I'm assuming this is maybe brought on by Luol Deng joining the team. Maybe some confusion about the direction that this team is going to be headed in at the beginning of the season when you've got veterans still being signed by this team, as well as so many rookies that they're already getting excited about. And you have a coach that's notorious for not playing a ton of minutes to anybody who's not a starter. I'm confused as well about the direction of this team. And so I don't really blame Jim Butler for having that confused as well.
What do you think Butler's major issue is? Because we know that he has had a good relationship with Tom Thibodeau in the past. Is there a deterioration with that relationship? Is it has Butler come to any sort of realization or thought process that the way that Tibbs is handling rotations and minutes and wear and tear is the problem? Or do you think it is just this, what are we doing? Why has he got issues with Karl Anthony Towns? He doesn't like the way that the organization is treating Karl Anthony Towns. Like, what's his major concern here at the moment?
I think that a lot of this stems from what we're doing with the young guys. You have Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, the guys who you're hoping, and one of them you're paying to be kind of the next step in this franchise's future. And last year you brought in veterans. You have Gibson Crawford joining the team, and it was like, all right, Jimmy Butler is supposed to guide these young guys and teach them how to be professionals, how to win team that has been really bad the last couple of seasons. Now he's going to teach these young guys how to win. And look, we brought in guys, a guy who can play the four, play alongside Towns, teach them how to play, teach them to be more aggressive sports. You made a guy like Bobby who's going to help who you think maybe can help this team find outside, can help Wiggins find a shot from outside. You've got Butler on the team. Hopefully he's going to help these guys not only improve their defense, but help them individually as defenders and help grow on the defensive side. So all of that set up to grow their youth last season. Now this season, you're bringing in Anthony Tolliver, you're keeping Derek Rose, bringing in LeBang. There's a lot of moves that say, look, we want to stick with old guys and try and get veterans, but you also have these great draft picks in Josh Okogie, in Keita Bickstown, in Justin Patton, who really hasn't been tested at all either, and you could kind of include in that rookie class. And so it does seem strange that it doesn't seem like there's a direction for these young guys. And so I would be frustrated with that as well if I was Jimmy Butler. Because that's your future.
Do you think there's any merit to the we know that there were issues with Butler and Rose together in Chicago. We heard that when Derek was still there in Chicago and Butler came in famously one preseason and said, I'm the point guard on this team, and there was that friction there. And then, of course, Thibodeau went and signed Rose last season, and Butler maybe put up with it for like, okay, it's a contract at the end of the season, a couple of months, let's see how it goes. And then he's brought back in. Is there anything to do with that friction that did exist a few years ago and maybe Thibodeau's loyalty to Rose is rubbing Butler the wrong way?
I think that Butler has all known exactly who he is as a basketball player. And I think friction when a coaching staff doesn't seem to really know what they're or not doesn't have great reasons for what they're doing, because Butler knows exactly who he is in the system, and he wants other people to know what they're doing around him, which isn't a ton to ask, but I can see where the friction is. It seems like the message right away from Tibbs is we're trying to make this more of a defensive team, and then you're bringing in guys who aren't good on defense to try and help get players seemingly towards a certain goal on offense, and then you're not going to play those young guys anyways.
So this meeting is at this point scheduled for Monday between Thibodeau and Butler. Is there any sort of indication as to what we're looking at with this meeting? Is it a clearing of the air? What's happening here, Tom? Which way are we going with the direction of this franchise? Is it Butler coming in and say, do this or I'm out, trade me? Because there's been, as always, social media speculation about Butler liking posts about Danny Green commenting on Kawhi Leonard, saying he's going to love Toronto, and Jimmy Butler jumping in and liking that. Do you think it's, which way is this likely to go? Is there just no real way of knowing at this point?
I think you see from Butler, he's trying to show that there's a willingness from him to go elsewhere. I think that there probably was legitimate excitement from Butler to take this team somewhere over the next 4 years. But now that there is these bullheaded moves by the front office, I think he's trying to show that he is willing to go somewhere else and try and pick it up somewhere else. And I hope at this meeting that there is a clearing of the air just as far as what this organization is exactly trying to do with the roster they have and what the plan is. I'm anticipating maybe something less than that, because it's two guys pretty strong, pretty alpha in nature and pretty strong towards their own idea of how things should go. And so while I'm hoping that there's productivity, and while I'm hoping that a plan is shared with Butler and that there's kind of a collaboration of what we want to do with this roster, I'm not super optimistic that's actually what happens.
Of course, the Timberwolves are still dragging their feet on working out an extension for Karl Anthony Towns. We saw Devin Booker get signed pretty much straight away once the ability to sign those rookie extensions started, and there has been some discussion about what's happening with Towns and how happy he is with the coaching staff and with the environment and the culture there. And then the report came out over the weekend as well that Glenn Taylor had some concerns, I think was how it was phrased, with the culture of the team and the direction. And considered perhaps moving on from Tom Thibodeau. So that's, intertwined with this Jimmy Butler thing, but it's also separate in its own way. So the Taylor concerns, that was from a few months ago. Is there anything still bubbling up with that sort of issue of in terms of Thibodeau's future with this team?
I don't know how you, any scenario where you pick Tibbs over Butler, just because this is actually, I've said it before, we talked about this when we're doing the preview for the fans. Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast. We did that interview. I talked about how good this roster was, and we talked about James Dunley. We talked about the rookies. We talked about Towns and Wiggins, how they could maybe hit potential. Definitely with Towns, there's a lot of great pieces on this roster, and you have a coach who refuses to play a deep roster rotation, especially at any point in the season, especially when you're supposed to early on in the season to kind of figure out what you have. And so if push comes to shove, I would definitely be happy to have Tibbs walk over Butler for sure, because if you bring in another coach, I think any other coach is going to run your rotation, especially in the first couple months of the season, about 10, 11 guys deep, and you figure out what you have as far as shooters, as far as defensive playmakers, young guys versus veterans on this team. And with Tibbs, it kind of feels like you're going to get a bunch of guys run into the ground again because he's not willing to run a deep rotation. He's only willing to go about six guys deep. And you saw that problem, especially in the we also saw a lot of things go wrong with just his system. You saw Towns playing out of place and really out of position a ton in that playoff series. If you're Towns going away from last year's playoffs, I would be concerned too, because not only were you throwing it on the three-point line a lot for no reason, but you also had a matchup advantage against Clint Capella. Towns is a guy who can beat Clint Capella down low. You just didn't see him get lot, even though that should be the look they went to all the time in that playoff series. So about Towns, I'm worried about the direction of this team as well, because after that playoff series, there can't be a taste in your mouth, especially with the system of this team.
The thing you got here, so we've got a concern between Thibodeau and Butler. We have a potential friction between Towns and Thibodeau, and then we've got the potential friction between Towns and Butler. And then you've got the concerns with Glenn Taylor. So all in all, there's a lot of interesting situations here. It appears like with multiple people having conflicts with Thibodeau, Butler, Towns, and Taylor, all independent of each other, that it doesn't feel like that the Thibodeau is a guaranteed lock to last out the season. Do you think that there is a significant chance that he doesn't actually coach this team all the way through to April?
I think there's a very chance. When you have this many problems in the locker room and you left the season with a ton of problems between Tibbs and the front office, I think there's a great chance he doesn't coach all the way through to April. But also, let's add to that list of problems, Luol Deng getting signed, not even because I have a personal thing against Luol or because I think that maybe he couldn't give you 10 solid minutes for the Timberwolves, but for all, I've had a lot of people push back against the tape, but this is, you don't have a minute, especially if Tibbs is your head coach to start the season, you don't have a minute for the bench. You really have to figure out what these young guys could do for your team, how these young guys could help your roster, and giving those minutes to a veteran, even if it's 12 minutes a game, a guy who started while Teague was out for 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, only averaged 17 minutes per game. So really, if you're not getting those starts, it's probably closer to around 11 minutes. They joined the team with Josh Okogie, it's kind of minutes that aren't really there anyways in the Tibbs system. So that's a big issue for me, not figuring out what you have with your young guys and not giving your young team a lot of opportunities, instead of giving veterans who you kind of know what their ceiling is at this point in their career. So I would add Luol Deng getting signed to the Timberwolves as another list, one of their problems to add to the list.
I agree with you about Deng being able to give a solid 10 minutes. We know that the issues there was in Los Angeles last season, but it's not like he can't contribute. But the optics of it, the idea of him just going out and just doing the repeatable behaviors and repeatable patterns from Thibodeau, it's like, of course he's going to sign his ex-Bulls. Oh, here we go. And just bring another one in. And on any other team in the league, signing Deng at a minimum deal to come in and be Jared Dudley on the Suns, be what he could be to a team, and that's fine. But you just know that that's the optics of it are poor, and it just feels like a real inability to read the room and read the perception of how he is, I guess, viewed in the locker room and externally. And I think that I agree that could have been not necessarily a final straw, but something where the players have just gone like, man, we love Luol, but like, come on, like, can we try something here? We've got these other guys who have shown a bit and shown that ability, and we need to be able to rely upon them. But bringing in someone that, was good for you 6 years ago is not necessarily going to get it done. The other thing that's happened here with the Timberwolves, of course, you mentioned his name earlier, Justin Patton, has broken his foot again. And this isn't the foot that caused him to miss all of last season, bar the one game that he played. He's broken his other foot now. Look, what are we looking at in terms of timelines here for Patton at the moment, who's set to undergo surgery on the fracture?
Well, I think you're looking at just about the same that you were looking at last year. Hopefully, because at the end of the season, or at the end of the injury last year, they just didn't really want to play him a ton of minutes. Hopefully, you're able to get him actually onto the roster and into the rotation around that December, early January kind of timetable. But that's the other thing, too, is if you're signing guys with Luol Deng, then there's no urgency to bring him up and figure that stuff out. It's a bummer of an injury to have happen, but you do at some point want him to play at some kind of minutes to see what you have in this player, because he was drafted just outside of the lottery. Like, it wasn't like we're talking an early second-round pick. This is a guy who just fell outside of the lottery, and I know he's had some injury struggles, but you also got to give him a chance in the lineup to see what you have and what you can get from him. And I think that there's a way to do that without hurting the team or without costing them a game or something crazy like that. It just has to do with not playing guys who have been around for 15 years, not playing those guys 10 minutes a game.
Yeah, like, I had these discussions all last season. There were times when the Wolves would be up 25 points with 3 minutes left, and it wouldn't be until the last 20 seconds of the game that someone else would come in, like a Marcus Georges Hunt or players like that. And it just, when there was 3 minutes of actual game time when they could have been used, but Thibodeau refuses to use that. Lots going on with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Any updates from this Monday meeting, Colton? You're going to cover that over on Locked On Wolves. So thank you for jumping on and discussing the myriad of issues with Minnesota at the moment.
Why would we have an off season that ends well before the preseason?
Exactly. What? Who needs calmness?
Exactly. Thanks for having me on, Josh.
The Locked On Network is expanding with college shows. Coming this week, Locked On Wolverines, Locked On Buckeyes, and Locked On Seminoles. Plus, we are already locked on to the Ducks, Nittany Lions, Bears, the Crimson Tide, the Wildcats, Razorbacks, Volunteers, and Cougars. Find your favorite college show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. I'm joined now by the host of the Locked On Thunder podcast, and that is Eric G. A bombshell dropped last week for the Thunder, Eric, with Russell Westbrook set to undergo surgery. He may have already undergone the surgery, I'm not actually sure on the timeline there, on his knee, a knee which has given him trouble in the past. I believe this is his third or fourth surgery on that knee. He's also had a PRP, platelet-rich plasma injection, into that knee. This sort of came out of the blue, Eric.
Yeah, it did. The surgery was last week, and we got notified by the Thunder that things went all right. It was about 1:39 Central Standard Time. I want to say that happened on Thursday when Russ had that surgery. And as you mentioned, it's the fourth time that he's had it. And I probably shouldn't come out of the blue, because these things have become so commonplace with Russ. But I will say my reaction to this, I know a lot of fans are looking at Russ as being superhuman and a guy that's going to bounce back and he'll be as explosive as he was prior to surgery, because that's the way he's been so far. This is your fourth one, and that means cartilage just keeps coming out of your knee, and eventually it's going to take its toll on Russell Westbrook. And even if he's the same this year, I'm seeing retirement coming for Russell Westbrook sooner rather than later, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that we've always had the thought process that, you know, perhaps his game isn't going to age well because it is just, you know, so reliant upon explosive athleticism, superhuman jumping and speed and all that sort of stuff. And eventually, you know, when you get to 30 and push past 30, that sort of stuff goes away. And then the indiscriminate shot selection, some of that other stuff, the defensive effort issues, they may come into play a little bit more. But now, this is a guy that initially, Eric, the narrative around Westbrook was always he's a superhuman. He never missed a single game in high school. He never missed a single game in college. He never missed a single game in the NBA until the Pat Beverly incident in the playoffs. And then he had those surgeries on the knee, the three knee surgeries in a pretty short space of time. But it has been, I think, 4 or 5 years since he had the last surgery on that knee. So we're talking about a fairly lengthy chunk of time. And when he did have those surgeries, and he had two in one season, he did bounce back, you know, significantly faster than what was the initial time frame. But of course, we're talking about a guy who was four or five years younger at that point. So what we're hearing at the moment, he's going to be reevaluated in 4 weeks. And I think it's important to note that reevaluated doesn't mean coming back in 4 weeks. Now, for Russ, it may, Eric, but it means they're just going to look at it and see, you know, where we're at with this. I would think that 4 weeks would be pretty optimistic to expect him to be back on the court.
Yeah, I certainly, the earliest I could see Russell coming back might be that second game that Oklahoma City plays with the Clippers, and that is a couple of weeks into the season. There's no need to rush him back if you're the Thunder. You want to be as delicate with that knee as possible, because the only thing that really matters is that he's healthy for the playoffs and he's healthy for the majority of the season. So those first few games you can afford to put yourself in a hole, and you should have good enough talent that your whatever hole the Thunder dig for themselves is not that deep, provided they don't have any other major injuries that they're going to have to deal with during that time. The other thing that you have to remember, and what makes this such an interesting time frame for the Oklahoma City Thunder, is that Andre Roberson's status is still up in the air. We don't know when he's going to be back. I'm assuming it's going to be sometime around Christmas, based on that interview he did in San Antonio. And if that's the case, you could have some really strange combinations on the floor, especially in the starting five. And there is no telling how they're going to gel, but Billy Donovan's at least got all of training camp and all of the preseason to get everybody on the same page and get them playing with Russ. And then there's the adjustment period when Russ gets back. So the Thunder are going to struggle. It's just a matter of how much they struggle, how deep the hole is. And once Roberson and Westbrook get back healthy, are they poised to then make a charge because everyone's got some chemistry?
Yeah, that's the thing, is it? We're talking about a Western Conference that's obviously pretty tough to battle through, and any sort of issues you have without Westbrook there, and then when he comes back and readjustment to getting back to game speed is always going to be a concern. Is there, the reporting is that it was a proactive procedure, there's some sort of, you know, maintenance because he was feeling a little bit stiff. Is there any reason why he had it at this point? It was that he hadn't experienced any stiffness beforehand, or is it something they just put off and hoped it would get better? Is any reporting on whether this stiffness just cropped up now, or was it like, hey, this isn't getting better, let's do something now before the season starts?
To have a procedure like that, I would think that you would be going through, you would already have some stiffness, and it's not something that it's just going to all of a sudden pop up and you're going to go, well, hey, we've been dealing with this for about 72 hours or whatever, let's go have surgery. I would think that Russ has probably been dealing with this all summer long. He's been probably trying to work it out. I wouldn't even be surprised if he was dealing with it late in the season last year and just decided to play through it. But it got to that point where you couldn't ignore it any longer, and it wasn't going to get any better, and it would start to hamper your game. So it's better to clear it out sooner rather than later. One of the guys I work with made a comment that is a veteran move. You get to miss training camp, you get to miss the first few weeks of the season, and then you're healthy for the majority of it. I can go with that. Knowing Russell Westbrook, he doesn't like to miss any playing time at all. It offends him whenever he's not out on the court. So it must have just gotten to that point where he could no longer live with it. And then after consulting doctors and his reps and the Thunder, they had to decide that this was the best course of procedure, because up until that point, I can just see Russ fighting with everyone, telling people he wasn't going to miss games. And I know, absolutely know deep down, there's nothing Russell Westbrook would have loved more than to go stick it to Kevin Durant and Golden State in game number one as they're getting their rings.
There is still, I guess, some hope that he is back for game one. I would put that pretty pretty low in terms of probability of it happening, but it could happen. But the guy who is in line now to replace Russell Westbrook as at least the preseason starter and maybe the starter on opening night is Dennis Schroeder, who had a pretty solid game over in Europe over the last couple of days. He scored 30 points in a overtime win against Israel with 13 assists, and he seems to be playing pretty well over there, still struggling with some of his shooting and his turnovers with the ball. But I guess having Schroeder in place now, is, I guess, not necessarily a safety blanket, but it's probably a better alternative than Ray Felton, who was serviceable last season. But with Westbrook out, it does give the Thunder at least a starting caliber point guard to bridge that gap until he's ready to return.
Yeah, and I keep messing with the lineup in my head. I mean, you put Dennis Schroeder in, you give him an opportunity to go play, and that's going to be his more natural position. But then there is that asking him then to go back onto the bench, come off the bench, probably ask him to play a little bit more of a two guard at times. So how is he going to adjust to doing that, which gets very interesting? And who's going to fill that two guard spot if Andre Robertson's not playing? Logic would tell you it's probably Alex Abrines. Maybe you're going to bring in Terrence Ferguson, and Abrines is in the doghouse. I'm losing faith in this guy, just like Billy Donovan has. I would probably start Terrence Ferguson, but I'll give you a lineup that I want to see that I absolutely know will not happen. I know this won't happen. It's a pipe dream. I'd like to see Raymond Felton start. I'd like to see Dennis play the two, and then you have Paul play the three, Jeremy the four, and Steven Adams at the five, or even Patrick Patterson play the four. I don't care. I would just like to see Raymond Felton, even at his advanced age, get the opportunity to start and play that true point guard with Dennis Schroeder. I think that could be a lot of fun to watch.
Well, they are going to have some open positions in that backcourt. And now all the news on Russell Westbrook's surgery, his recovery, and his timetable, Eric's going to have that covered for you over on Locked On Thunder. So make sure you're checking that out. Eric, thank you for jumping on Locked On NBA with me and discussing the latest news regarding the injuries in Oklahoma City.
Josh, thank you very much. I always enjoy talking to you, and at some point we need to return the favor and get you on Locked On Thunder.
Absolutely, mate. That'll do it for another episode of Locked On NBA. Make sure you are subscribing Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, all the places where you get your podcasts. Go and leave a 5-star rating or a review. That would be fantastic. A great way of helping out the show. You can follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. You can follow the podcast network at Locked On NBA Net as well. And check out our new shows right across on that college network. NFL shows in full swing. Check it all out. And don't forget to check out our sponsor, Vivid Seats, by using that promo code LOCKEDON and get $20 off any order of $200 or more. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.